Sure, enjoy the music. It's good to have, again this morning, our missionaries to Ukraine with us. And when the war started over there, this is the missionary, Brother Coonsey, that we sent our monies of support for the efforts there and helping the Ukrainians and helping them with their needs. We sent money to you, but we also sent money to one other missionary to help in that area. And we need to remember there's an unjust war going on over there, an unprovoked war, and we need to pray for them. And so I appreciate Brother Coonsey keeping us up to date, especially there in the beginnings and helping us. And Brother Coonsey, you come on and preach for us this morning.
Had the opportunity to speak in the Sunday school class, Brother Cox's class, this morning. And at the close, he asked, what would be my main prayer requests for Ukraine? And honestly, well, the first thing that came to mind is pray for the believers, that they would keep their eyes on the Lord and be a testimony and be strong in a hard time and just be a light in that dark place. And really, that's part of what my lesson was about, the will of God in our lives is our sanctification. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, even your sanctification. And something like that can do a sanctifying work in your life if you look to the Lord. And so that's one prayer request for the believers, that they'll just be that bright and shining light. It's discouraging. It's terrifying. And then that the lost would see that light, and it would, this is another thing that's the will of God. It's that with well doing, you will put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And by their ability to rejoice in those situations and just have a faith and a hope that carries them through joyfully. This will speak to the hearts of the lost. And so the other prayer request is that the lost would be saved. And this, too, is the will of God, Amen. That the lost be saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so those are the two big prayer requests. And as far as the war goes, you know, that's out of my realm of thinking. That is thy will be done, Lord. You know, we don't know what his plans are. And I also mentioned, just like, you know, Mary and Martha wanted to see their brother Lazarus healed. But God had different plans. He had better plans that brought greater glory to his name. And so we don't pray for the end of the war. We'd like to see that, but God knows. And he's doing a work. And we just have to trust him. So, all right. All right, that wasn't on the script, and that's better when it's not on the script. But I'm a person that sometimes needs a script to follow and gets a little, you know, anxious and, you know, big crowds like this. But anyway, my name is Mark Coonsey, and my wife is Donna, and we are your missionaries to the Ukrainian people, and it's good to be back here at Heritage. The last time we were here was 2 years ago this month, and I'm going to give you a brief recap on our call to minister to the Ukrainian people as well as the war on Ukraine. We were called to Ukraine as missionaries in September of 2013. By November of 2013, only 2 months later, unrest broke out in the capital city of Kiev. And there were almost 100 protesters who were gunned down in that situation. And the president of Ukraine at that time, Viktor Yanukovych, fled to Russia. Now, this is, keep in mind, all 2 months after God called us to Ukraine. And these are unsettling things, but we knew God had called us. And he had called us for such a time as that. And by the spring of 2014, Ukraine was being invaded by Russian-speaking people in unmarked vehicles, unmarked tanks, unmarked uniforms. And President Putin denied that the invasion was by Russia. And the world sat dumbfounded, wondering, who could these invaders be? I'm dumbfounded at how dumb the world can be, you know? But anyway, that was what was going on at the time. Who are these little green men, you know? Putin says they're not from Russia. So who are they? Well, anyway. They took control of the Crimean Peninsula easily. The Ukrainian Navy was very weak and ill-prepared to defend anything. And the invaders then sought to overtake all of eastern Ukraine. And even the city where we eventually went to minister, Kharkiv, Ukraine, which is the second largest city in Ukraine, was overtaken, and the Russian flag was raised over the city administrative building for 1 day until the locals took control again and pulled it down. President Putin amazingly later admitted that, yeah, it was us. We're the ones. We came and then, but he had to do that to annex the Crimean Peninsula, which they took, to annex it to Russia. So he did finally come out and admit. After all of this unsettling news for us as newly called missionaries, we continued to prepare, and we got to Ukraine by December of 2014, just for 3 months at that time because we didn't yet have a visa. So we could only go on a visitor status, but then later returned with our full visa. But a ceasefire of heavy artillery from 2014 until 2022, a ceasefire had been agreed upon. And only in the far eastern parts of Ukraine, on the border areas between Ukraine and two so-called breakaway regions, which Russia helped to break away, there was occasional gunfire. So no heavy artillery, but there was gunfire every week. There were people dying every week. And from that initial stage of the war and through the years of just skirmishes back and forth on the border area, some 10,000 Ukrainians died. And but then on February 24th, 2022, Russia began its full-scale invasion of Ukraine, and we had returned just before that, 4 weeks before that, as the Lord had led us so to do. So what have we been doing in the meantime? Well, we relocated to Texas, and Gateway Baptist Church in Gatesville, Texas is now our sending church. We support our own living expenses, and all funds that we receive from our supporting churches go to the work of and help of meeting needs of people in the country of Ukraine. There's two Baptist pastors there that we send funds to that they use for receiving. They have to go get humanitarian aid that others have sent over. And so they have to rent big trucks to get this and go get it. But the money goes for that and then for distributing the humanitarian aid. And this, of course, is along with preaching the gospel. We're not just about giving out humanitarian aid. We're really about giving out the gospel. But it's a time of need for these people, and it continues. So they give out the humanitarian aid along with preaching of the gospel and distribution of New Testaments. Sometimes they have repeat crowds and stuff, so they don't keep giving New Testaments every time, but they need other gospel literature to give out, and we provide, we've provided some gospel tracts. One of them is, I've seen over, it's called Are You a Good Person? And they have that in Russian, and we provided that. And then I've also written several gospel articles for inclusion in the bags of humanitarian aid. One of them, the first one I wrote, was Understanding Life, Understanding God. Or I forget whether it's Understanding God, Understanding Life, but it addresses the questions that people at this time in that situation have. And then another one I wrote was What Does It Mean to Believe in Jesus Christ? Another one is Are You Like Nicodemus? Sort of an unusual title, but it cuts to the chase on you may be religious, but have you been born again? And then another one, that the most recent one that I've written for inclusion in those humanitarian aid bags is May 2024 Be Better. And and through knowing Christ, certainly 2024 can be better, no matter what the circumstances are. Through knowing Christ, it will be a better year for them and for anyone who doesn't yet know Christ. So anyway, we send these funds to these pastors, and they get the gospel out, and we get reports and pictures from them regularly. We'll be showing some of the pictures shortly. We also share the gospel through, we advertise on Facebook, and we have a website that we created that they can go to as well. Then it directs them to that website. Another thing we had the opportunity to do was, while we were in Ukraine, we had a translator, and he was not a believer, and he's still not a believer, but this translator wanted safety for his wife and 12-year-old son. And he asked if we'd be willing to sponsor them or take them in. And this we did on our own. We didn't use church funds or things that people sent to us. But they came and lived in our home in Hamilton, Texas for 16 months, his wife and son. And they went to church with us every service. They read the Bible with us daily for about a year of that time. And through that, the boy came to know the Lord. He genuinely knows the Lord. And his mother does not yet know the Lord. Just this last September, our translator's mother came over too. So it's the grandma, the wife, and the son here. And she was with us for a short time, as well. But they got a place then mid-January of their own. But anyway, we were ministering to them as well, and that was just, we took care of that. But we would like you to pray with us about planning of a trip back to Ukraine for not long term, but maybe 6 to 8 weeks to try to touch base with people and be an encouragement to them, to let them know that, the Lord never leaves or forsakes them, but we want them to know too that we didn't leave out of fear. We left because the Lord directed us to. We were praying, what do you want us to do? And the Lord just made it clear. One day I woke up and the verse came running through my head from Proverbs. It's in Proverbs twice. But it says, the prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple are passed on and are punished. And, it's just like I'm waking up and this verse is coming to me. And I'm praying, Lord, what do you want us to do? And it seemed quite clear. The Lord was saying, it's time to go home, buddy. So we came back. But we have continued ministering and serving. We communicate with people every day, or not every day, every week, almost every day. But let's look at some PowerPoint here. Pray for Ukraine. Ever since we went, we had the verse, brethren, pray for us, U.S. What does U.S. stand for? Ukrainian sinners, Ukrainian saints. We have added Ukrainian soldiers and also Ukrainian servants. And so, brethren, pray for us. Let's go to the next. Okay. This is the city of Kharkiv where we ministered before the war. Next. And more before the war, they have beautiful parks. And this is what we were busy doing right before we returned. We would order tracks. I forget what this order. Sometimes the orders was 50,000. And I don't know, this may have, because we might have sensed our coming. I don't know how many we ordered, but this is a pile of tracks that we wrote the tracks, and we had them translated to Russian, and we distributed them regularly on the streets near the metros and in apartment buildings. Next. Here's me. It was at the beginning of the year, we printed calendars, little pocket calendars that had a scripture verse on it and also reference to our website. And we would distribute those along with tracks, and that's me preparing some there in the apartment. And this is like a new, nice apartment block area where we could get into these buildings and put them in the mailboxes. It's legal over there. And so that was us just really shortly before we had to return. Next. This was probably the summer before. Down by the university, there's me in the middle. And I like trying to reach university students because some of them were foreign and they spoke English, and not many Ukrainians at all speak English, but some of the young people were beginning to learn English, and this was a good place for us to be able to witness actually in English. And next. And this was where we started our work in the village, and the guy in the back corner is our translator, whose family we had living with us. And the young lady in the front on the right is a unbeliever that we continue witnessing to and communicating with regularly. The lady across the table, first one that you see there, she is a believer. She came to know Christ while we were there. And we keep in regular communication with her and talk with her and try to encourage her. And it's just a blessing to see the change in her life. I mean, she was a typical old grandma, worried and complained about everything. Excuse me, grandmas. This was a a typical Ukrainian grandma, worried and complaining about everything. But, you know, there she is in the midst of the war, and she's praising God. And sure, she has her aches, her pains, her fears. But the main thing coming from her mouth is praise for the Lord. So, next. One of the pastors we worked with or alongside of over there ran rehab ministry, and I would go every week and preach to these guys in the rehab ministry, and that's some of them there. Next. And there's some, these are more current pictures. Pastor Volba, he has recently restarted the rehab ministry. He's really got a heart for that. And anyway, you can see there that these are some of the people he's working with now. And this guy on the right needs to be saved. Zhenya is how they would say that. Next. And again, this was just some of the work in the village church in Vedenka. And some of these people in the picture on the right, the young man on the far right is a guy who professed salvation as well. And we keep in communication with him yet. And then Tamara is the lady in the white. She's the one I told you had gotten saved. And our translator, we keep in communication with him. He's over there by the piano and anyway, these are still people that we actively work with and communicate with. Next. These were children that we worked with, and it's always been our prayer that as we gave them the gospel, that that gospel seed would come home to their hearts during these difficult times and that they might receive the Lord. Next. And this was in an orphanage. My wife worked more there as well than I did. Our prayer for them is, again, that the gospel seed that was planted would take root and these kids would trust Christ as their Savior. Next. And this is Mariana. That's Bova's wife. She often translated for me as I preached as well. Next. And we, of course, we keep in communication with them a lot, and they've gone through a lot and very difficult times for them. Church services that they held for the rehab people, and we attended those sometimes. Next. And then these are their daughters, Bo and Mariana's daughters, Anya and Vika, and the second day of the war, it explains. Here's a picture of their house at the bottom. There's a missile that struck right in front of their house. Early on, right at the beginning of the war, they were firing all these missiles that were duds because they had been in storage so long. But praise God. I mean, if that had exploded, their house would have been, you know. And the thing, the other thing was, first day of the war, you know, they were afraid to go out. But then next day, it was a quiet night, and they needed groceries. So they thought, well, the safest thing is leave the girls at home, and we'll go get groceries quick. Well, while they're out getting groceries, they hear missiles flying overhead, and they come home to see this in front of their house. But they knew that God's protection was upon them. So, next. And this store on the left is a store where we did some shopping sometimes, but it was blown up over a year ago, but they have rebuilt it, and it's back and up and running. And this is what many neighborhoods look like on the right. Next. And this is just recent images that Pastor Volva sent that just in the last few weeks. That Christmas tree, they do Christmas trees on New Year's, so it was around that time. Next. And this was the other pastor who we send humanitarian aid to that ministers and gets out the gospel. This was his house after a little bit of shelling nearby. It shattered some windows and knocked some gutters down and stuff, but later, his he sent us pictures, and it was a video, so we couldn't put it on here, of just like a brick wall that was left. The house was totally destroyed. Next. And this is that couple, that young lady in the village that we first met. And anyway, she later met a refugee from the war-torn area in the East. She married him. They went to the other side of the country. When she was expecting her first baby, she was 8 months pregnant. They were living in a shelter, in a school with 50 other people. And she came back from delivering the baby, and 4 days later, the baby died. But God has been good to them, and we tell them how good God is to them. They don't know the Lord yet, and he's given them 2 sons since that time. So, next. And this is the fellow we knew, a brother in Christ who served in the war and died when he caught pneumonia while he was out there. And fortunately, it's nicer to know that he was able to be home and die on his couch instead of out in the battlefield. But anyway, that was a result of the war, catching pneumonia. Next. And here's some street preaching that they do before they pass out the humanitarian aid. Next. And here is, they're giving out New Testaments. Pastor Volva, pray that these people will read the word. Next. And here they have bags and New Testaments. Next. And here's more of the same. They do this work regularly, and this is what a lot of our funds are used for. This and okay, next. More of the same. Next. And this is just sent to us yesterday, really. We just threw this one in. He got to preach to this group of people in his neighborhood, and his wife asked for prayer for him as he's got high blood pressure, and just pray for the stresses that they face over there. Next. And this is the Pastor Sergei's ministry there. He had a church before the war of about 100 people. Once the war started, so many people fled the city that they only had about 20 people left. But now the building, they get about 150. Most of them are unbelievers. But it's giving them opportunities to witness and reach a host of people. So next, there's another picture. And after the service, they give out some bread, and once a month they give out more than bread. They give out a full bag of goods. Next. And yes, pray for all these souls under the sound of the gospel. Next. And here's that's Pastor Sergei on the right, and we had the opportunity to send some help to some guys in the military as well, and get them gospel literature as well. Next. And we do Facebook ads. Here's one titled, "How Do We Look at the World?" And you can see it says over 11,500 people have clicked on this ad to look at our website since the war began in February 24th, 2022. Our ads have been clicked on over 500,000 times. And pray for these people to seek the Lord and come to know the truth. Next. And this is another ad that's very popular. This is an actual photograph of a Ukrainian cemetery. And the title of the article was, "What is Death?" And this has been a very popular ad that many have clicked on, 5,000 people, And you can see the ad costs are not much, about 1 cent per person that clicks on it. And some of them that don't get clicked on as much might be as much as 7 cents, but not a bad deal. Next. And this is the family that lived with us on the right there. There's all of us. And you can see the grandma. She just arrived last September. And then Eula and Ilya lived with us for 16 months. Ilya knows the Lord. Pray for his growth. He did great at the start, and then he started going to public school. We're not the parents. We couldn't control that. That's what the parents decided. First year, he was online school. Got saved, was doing great. Public school, not doing as well, but we're confident he's saved. And just pray for him, his growth, obedience, and for his mother and grandma's salvation. Next. Pray for Ukrainian families, some of the situations they face, lost loved ones, separated from loved ones, refugees in places all over the world, some still in the war zone, and of course, pray that God would use all of these trying situations to bring these people to see their need of the Savior and trust Him. Okay, thank you. Okay. Let's see. That screen is that. I don't have a watch. I need a screen that's going to tell me what time it is. Oh, there we go. All right. Oh, my. Oh, my. Okay. Here we go. Title of the message this morning is there a missionary among us? We said, well, of course. Of course. But I don't mean, is there a missionary among us like me or this other fellow from California? But is there one here that has possibly that not been called yet or sent yet as a missionary? And that's a question I'm posing to you. And in consideration of this question, I'm going to ask three other questions and answer them from Scripture. Let's turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 13. And let's bow our head for a word of prayer then. Father, Lord, just to speak to our hearts through your word. Lord, we thank you just that you love people, and your whole mission is to save the lost. And Lord, you've committed that work to us. And Lord, I pray you just bless now as we open up the Scriptures, speak to our hearts, give us understanding. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, let's begin by reading Acts 13, verses 1 through 5. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister. We consider this question, is there a missionary among us? We'll ask and answer three other questions here. Who can be a missionary? How does one become a missionary? And what is a missionary's work? First, let's look at who can be a missionary. And we read here in verse 1, there were in the church that was at Antioch, okay, the ones that can be in a missionary are in the church. And this was the church, a local church at Antioch, Syria. There was one also that we hear of in the Bible, Antioch in Pisidia, but this was Antioch, Syria. And they were in the church. And there were in that church certain prophets and teachers. And so not only being in the church, but they are serving in the church. These men were serving as prophets and teachers. They were chosen from among the preachers and teachers of the Word of God in that local church. These are the ones that were under consideration. And there were five of them by name. And we see then that in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord, they're serving the Lord in the church, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And so as they're busy serving, and it also mentions that they were fasting. And, you know, there can be planned fasting and unplanned fasting. Now, I think planned fasting is a good idea. I can't say that I do that very often at all. But I do the unplanned fasting. It's like where I'm so busy trying to, you know, prepare message or do something, you know, get ready for the work of the Lord. I don't even think about it. I just don't, you know, and that's sort of like we read about Mark 6:31, where the Lord later said to the people, come apart and rest a while. He said, it said there that they were so busy, they had no leisure even so much as to eat. So they were so busy in the Lord's service, they didn't even have time to eat. They didn't even think about it. They're just fasting without even thinking about it. But they were serving the Lord. And that's the idea. These people were serious about serving the Lord. And as they were busy serving the Lord in the local church, preaching and teaching the Word of God, the Holy Spirit made it clear to them in some way that he was calling two of these men to be separated to do a special work, separated unto the work whereunto I have called them. Just a point of illustration, my own calling, I went to be a help to a missionary supported by our local church back in 2013. And I didn't have any intention of going there as a full-time missionary or anything, but I was preparing a message about, you know, it was time to leave Ukraine, and I'm thinking lots of people need saved here. So I'm trying to tell the people, you need to reach your people. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. You need to do this. And but while I'm preparing that message, it's like coming back at me. And then I get out in the pulpit and start preaching that message, and it keeps coming back to me. And you know what? When God's speaking to you, you know it. And you just know it. And it's up to you to yield and say yes to whatever he's speaking to you about. And so anyway, And we see then, I told my wife about God's call on my life, and you know what? That spoke to her heart. And she knew then, too, that being my wife, and, you know, she just yielded and submitted, and this is God's call on her life. This is for us. And so, you know, God can take and use women as well on the mission field. So the ones that can be used as a missionary are those who serve in the local church. They are busy in service, preaching and teaching the word of God. The women can be used in children's and women's ministries and other many helps ministries. To be a missionary, there is a special call on your life. And that's who can be a missionary. And then how does one become a missionary? Well, there's the individual's role. Having met those previous things, those requirements we mentioned, these are Holy Spirit individuals, men and women who are actively serving in the local church, preaching and teaching of God's word, and men who are preaching and teaching God's word. Then there's the church's role. Verse 3, it says, "And when they had fasted and had prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away." This verse shows the necessity of the unity in the local church in recognizing the missionary's calling and their qualifications and their willingness to back him and let him go. It's not an easy thing to let a serving couple in your church go, but that's what you must do if God has called them. And then you let them go, and then there's God's role. And we saw that. First he calls, but then in verse 4, he also sends them forth. "So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus." And they were now on their way to their work. And what was their work? Verse 5, "And when they were at Salamis," this is a city on the island of Cyprus, "they preached the word of God." That's the missionary's work, preaching the word of God, fulfilling the Great Commission, just like your work is here. I ask again the question, is there a missionary among us, perhaps not yet called and not yet sent? We need to pray the Lord of the harvest, because the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Let's pray. Father, I pray that each one would ask themselves the question, how are you speaking to them today? Do you want them to go, to pray, to give? Lord, if they're not being spoken to in that way, maybe they don't even know you. And maybe you're speaking to them about they need to be saved. Lord, might each one answer the question, how are you speaking to them today? Do they need to be saved? Do they need to go? Do they need to give? Do they need to pray? We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.